This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day for me to look back at some ideas that captivated me many, many years ago. Right after I got out of college and left law school, I did a bunch of political work that had me working in and around congressional offices. And one of the things that disillusioned me about Capitol Hill, and this is way back, was that the people who were elected to the Congress of the United States, the House of Representatives, weren't full-time legislators. They were full-time candidates. Because a term of office is only 2 years, all you're doing all the time is running for office and asking for money and calculating the political odds. And now, today, you even have to worry about a primary election. There's a point that is made so forcefully in a great column by one of the nation's leading constitutional scholars. And it's a great honor to have Richard Pildes on my show. He was once a law clerk to the legendary Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, and he is now at the NYU Law School. He's written a piece for the New York Times that begins, "In nearly all other democracies, this is not normal." What is it especially that you're pointing out in this column that isn't normal, Professor Pildes?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, first of all. And what I'm pointing out is exactly what you referred to from your experience many years ago on the Hill, which is that we take for granted the fact that our Congress, our House, is up for re-election every 2 years. But in most democracies, that's an incredibly short term to stand for re-election. It's common in democracies around the world, including the major democracies, that a parliament serves for 4 years or 5 years. And in our system, not only do you have to stand for election after 2 years, but we have these primary elections, which most systems don't have. In most systems, the political parties choose their nominees. So in our system, the members of the House are actually up for two elections every 2 years. And this has all sorts of effects on our politics that we just take for granted because this is the way we've always done things.
But wouldn't people who are defending this system, defending the primary election system, and defending the idea of two-year terms, say this makes our House members more responsive? It gives them more accountability to the voters who choose them?
Well, in designing democratic institutions, there's often a trade-off between, you know, what we call accountability, which is regular elections, and empowering a government that can be effective and actually deliver on the issues that people care most urgently about. So in the debates on the Constitution, the proposal that was strongest at the outset was they should be elected every year, 1 year, annual elections. And just imagine what that would do to our political system if House elections were every single year. Yes, in some sense, it would make them more accountable and more immediately responsive, but it's easy to see how much more chaotic that would make the whole governance process. So that's why in most other democracies, they've come to the view that about 4 years or 5 years is the right amount of time for people to see a government in action, actually have its policies be implemented, and then make a judgment. Do you like what's happened or not like what's happened? One of the effects of the two-year term on the House, and this is one of the things I'm most focused on, is not just how it affects the House, but how it affects the whole government. Because, as you know, in every election but two since 1934, the president's party loses seats in the House in the midterms. And it just can't be that every government we've had since 1934 has performed so badly in their first 2 years that they deserve to be punished by the voters. So these 2 years, these midterms have real serious effects, not just on the House, but on the whole system of government.
Well, again, when you look back at President Reagan, people think of President Reagan, who went on to win 49 of 50 states in one of the biggest landslides in history when he ran for re-election. He lost seats in the midterm. And basically what you're arguing is that part of the reason that that pattern follows is because no majority, new House majority, can in the course of a single year, which is really when the new campaign begins for re-election, get much of anything done. You have a passage in your piece that I think is extremely profound. You write, one of the most difficult aspects of designing democratic institutions is how to give governments incentives to act for the long term rather than the short term. The two-year term for House members does exactly the opposite. What you're talking about is not a radical change. You're not talking about 10-year terms for the House. What is it you would propose?
Well, I think a four-year term for members of the House would certainly be better in giving government more stability and giving government more of an opportunity to actually get things done. You know, after all, one of the biggest concerns about democratic governments today is that they're not able to perform effectively. And it's important that governments be able to deliver on the issues that people put them in office to deliver on. So I would propose a four-year term for the House. We can debate whether the House election should be at the same time as the presidential election or whether they should be on the off year. I tend to support having them occur at the same time as the presidential elections because I think all that instability from midterm elections is detrimental to the effectiveness of government. I still think we need checks on the administration that's in power. We would still have a third of the Senate being elected in the midterms. But I think a longer term for the members of the House would make government function more effectively.
Okay, and well, this is one of the things that came. Why not do it on a staggered basis as we do for the U.S. Senate? We still elect a third of all U.S. senators in every off-year election. Why not elect half of House members every 2 years?
I would be open to that. I think that that's another way to structure it, the four-year term, but with staggered elections. There's still the question of whether you want half the House up for election 2 years after a new administration has just been elected. But certainly staggered terms of 4 years, half the House each 2 years would ameliorate the kind of effects we're having right now with primaries and midterms affecting government in this way. And I just make one point. We used to elect governors for only 1 year or 2 years, but after World War II, all the states but two made the decision we're better off with 4 year terms for governors. We can do that in the states because it's easy to amend state constitutions. We can't make this change to the U.S. House very easily because of how much more difficult it is to amend the U.S. Constitution. But I tend to doubt we would adopt a two-year term for the House if we were operating on a clean slate today and setting things up. That's why most democracies do not have such short terms for members of their legislatures.
Also, if you had a four-year term for members of the House, that would do a lot to reduce the role of money in politics that people seem to be so concerned with. You actually have to raise twice as much money when you're running every 2 years.
Yes, and it means, as you know, that from the minute they walk in the door into their new seat in the House, members are already starting to spend an enormous amount of their time raising funds for a potential primary election and the general election. And so a four-year term would also diminish the urgency and the intensity of needing to raise huge amounts of money from the very get-go and spending enormous amounts of time, you know, from day one worrying about raising money. There still would be the need to raise money, but you'd have, you know, half as many elections, and so that would reduce the cost of holding office.
This is all in a fascinating brief piece. In nearly all other democracies, this is not normal. It's by Richard Pilvis of NYU Law School, and it is a great pleasure to speak to you. When we come back, we'll talk about how the current Congress is doing with the ongoing hearings, the latest from the CDC, and the Olympics coming up on the MedVet Show. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Michael Medved show, some new perspectives from the Olympics, where I told you I'm going to make you able to find out everything you need to know, that you really need to know about the Olympics. One of the things you need to know is actually an observation that was made by my associate, rock star Greg Tomlin, which I thought was a very smart observation, and it should be obvious to everybody, is that America is regularly attacked by the left today for white supremacy, for racism, for systemic racism, for incurable racism, for overwhelming racism. And if you take a look at the Olympics, and you take a look at all of the other nations in the world that are doing well in the competition, and much to the chagrin, I think, of everybody in the United States, the ROC, the Russian Olympic Committee, which is the group of Russians who are being allowed to participate, though they don't officially represent the nation of Russia because of Russia's violations of various Olympic standards. And anyway, they're doing great. They won a double gold medal at the gymnastics events. And then there's this terrible news that Simone Biles, the extremely beloved, enormously gifted Olympics star and prior medal winner, actually withdrew from the gold medal event, saying she has to focus on her mental health. The entire Team USA is planning to have a mental rest day on Wednesday. A mental rest day? Again, when you're doing gymnastics, I'm not sure how you do that, but congratulations to them. But the point is, look at the American gymnastics. You look at the American gymnastics team. The diversity on the American gymnastics team is notable and beautiful. Black people, Asian people, Asian American people, Black American people, people of every shade and every skin color, and the same is true in track events. The same is true across the board for America, for our teams. And it isn't like that for other countries. Sure, there are some indicators, and there's some people of color in some of the European teams, but generally, if you look at that famous, now infamous, Norwegian beach handball team, they all look pretty Norwegian to me. And the United States really stands alone at being a nation that transcends race. As people have talked about, what makes America so special and so unique and so distinctive is it's built on ideas. It's not built on blood and soil. And people who are new to the United States participate sometimes in the Olympics. The idea that America should take pride in that, well, that's obviously the case. Speaking about another nation that should take no pride at all, there is a second Algerian judoka, somebody who is competing in one of the judo events. For several reasons, Israel has always had a pretty decent judo presence. They have a substantial judo team that's Israeli. And these two Algerians have decided they're going to withdraw from the Olympics rather than have to actually be involved in taking on an Israeli, God forbid, somebody Jewish in the judo events, which just goes to show that with all the progress that has been made toward Middle East peace under the Trump administration, we had the Abraham Accords. They just had a wonderful news story, series of news stories, about the first Israeli flights nonstop from Tel Aviv to Marrakesh, Morocco. And there are a lot of Israelis of Moroccan ancestry. People, in fact, next to Russian Jews, who came more than a million of them after the Soviet Union opened the gates and allowed people to leave. Aside from Russian Jews, there are, I think, of more than any other single nationality in Israel are Moroccans. There are like 500,000 Israelis who are of Moroccan ancestry. A lot of them are going back for a visit. And that's a beautiful thing when you can normalize relations, as happened in the prior administration. The New York Times is reporting that President Biden says he is requiring federal employees to be vaccinated. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended today that people vaccinated against the coronavirus should resume wearing masks in schools and in public indoor spaces in parts of the country where the virus is surging, marking a sharp turnabout from their advice just 2 months ago. Well, 2 months when you're following a pandemic and you're following a tremendous upsurge with this diabolical Delta variant, that 2 months ago is an eternity. The pandemic in the United States is very different than it was in May, when it seemed as if the worst was in the past. Confirmed cases are surging in parts of the country with low vaccination rates, and there are more reports of breakthrough infections with the highly contagious Delta variant in fully immunized people. And again, do people out there listening to that, you hear that? I don't think for most of us living up here in the great Northwest this necessarily applies, because we are not a surging hotspot, not yet. But it is entirely possible that we will be seeing that kind of ruling that will be applied to the Pacific Northwest as well as the rest of the country. I mentioned before that Mike Pompeo spoke last night at the Ronald Reagan Library. And it's wonderful that they're doing the speaker series. They've had Mike Pence. They've had Paul Ryan. They've had me, which I appreciate. Mike Pence may be running for president. Mike Pompeo may be running for president. But he leaned alternately. This is a report from National Review. He leaned alternately on American history and Christianity while outlining his vision for a conservative response to the racial essentialism ascendant in today's Democratic Party. And one of the things that they point out is that the former Secretary of State said every time he extolled the virtues of the shining city on the hill, Pompeo tempered the Reagan-esque rhetoric with the acknowledgement of its sins. Surrounded by Reagan memorabilia, red, white, and blue bunting, and a crowd which no doubt assembled to hear an ode to American greatness, Pompeo broached the foundational sin of slavery. Sounds like he did it in a very clever way. How did they handle the rest of the questions in the hearings this morning? We'll get back to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. The Select Committee, formed by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, began its first hearing Tuesday into the January 6 Capitol attack. The committee, made up of 7 Democrats and 2 Republicans, the 2 Republicans were handpicked by Pelosi and are both critics of former President Donald Trump. Capitol Police and security officers are sharing their firsthand accounts of the violence that took place on January 6, and as far as his reaction to what he's been hearing so far, Republican Congressman Mike Johnson tells Newsmax,
We heard some harrowing testimony this morning. We are on the side of Capitol Police and the brave officers who put their lives on the line to protect this place every day and to protect all of us. No one takes anything away from the officers and what they've been through.
Gymnast Simone Biles has withdrawn from the Summer Olympics, citing mental health concerns. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Michael Medved show with the market not scoring such a great day today. Maybe people should think about diversifying your investments a little bit. I mean, that's always a good plan. And it's particularly a good plan if you can use some of your resources, not all of them, and sometimes modest amounts, to be part of the booming high-tech sector, particularly the high-tech sector that is based in Israel and in Israeli-American companies, and actually just flat-out other tech startups that are extraordinarily promising and powerful. You can read about them. It's free. Go to our website, michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner for Our Crowd. This is crowdsourced funding for high-tech startups that has an amazing track record, which you can read about, and can offer some very exciting, meaningful opportunities. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look on the banner for Our Crowd. It's my brother's company based in Jerusalem. And take part in one of the most exciting and potentially profitable elements of our entire economy. We today had this extraordinary hearings involving 4 police officers, 2 from the Capitol Police and 2 from the Washington Metropolitan Police. And you actually had the opportunity during the hearings to see some of what they saw based upon the body cameras that they were carrying literally into battle, and they didn't know it would be a battle. They should have known it would be a battle, because also today the inspector general released the information about the review of why the Capitol Police seemed so unprepared. And this is shocking and it's alarming. The Civil Disturbances Unit, the review went from the Inspector General, was operating at a decreased level of readiness as a result of a lack of standards for equipment. In particular, Mr. Bolton, the Inspector General, focused in on an embarrassing lack of functional shields for Capitol Police officers during the riot. One hopes that they're taking care of all of that, and that we can all come to a better understanding and really a rejection of the profound irresponsibility and, yes, evil involved in the people who stormed the Capitol building and in an attempt to interfere with our normal legal constitutional processes. This is Representative Liz Cheney, who is one of only two Republicans serving on this committee running this particular investigation. She asked a sergeant in the police force, Aquilino Gonell, about his reaction to some of the descriptions of the Capitol Hill riot that have been floating around in Republican circles. This is clip six.
Officer Gonell, when you think about that and share with us the vivid memory of the cruelty and the violence of the assault that day, and then you hear former President Trump say, quote, "It was a loving crowd. There was a lot of love in the crowd." How does that make you feel?
It's upsetting. It's a pathetic excuse for his behavior, for something that he himself helped to create, this monstrosity. I'm still recovering from those hugs and kisses that day that he claimed that so many rioters, terrorists, were assaulting us that day. If that was hugs and kisses, then we should all go to his house and do the same thing to him. To me, it's insulting, it's demoralizing, because everything that we did was to prevent everyone in the Capitol from getting hurt. And what he was doing, instead of sending the military, instead of sending the support or telling his people, his supporter, to stop this nonsense, he egged them to continue fighting.
Okay, there's a problem with this, which is that, and this is one of the reasons I do think it would have been better for Nancy Pelosi to have accepted the appointment of Jim Jordan and Jim Banks and had them have a chance to get a word in at the committee hearings. One of the things that President Trump would say in his own defense is when he said it was a very loving crowd, he wasn't talking about the crowd of people invading the Capitol. He was talking about the crowd of people, which was a much larger crowd by many orders of magnitude, that came to hear him speak. And, of course, he experienced them as a loving crowd because the crowd that came to assemble to hear the president speak out in front of the White House when he promised he was going to march up with them to the Capitol, he didn't. That crowd, you could understand the president might think was loving. But this goes and should go beyond politics, and Officer Michael Fanone made that point today. Clip seven.
The indifference shown to my colleagues is disgraceful. My law enforcement career prepared me to cope with some of the aspects of this experience. Being an officer, you know your life is at risk whenever you walk out the door, even if you don't expect otherwise law-abiding citizens to take up arms against you. But nothing, truly nothing, has prepared me to address those elected members of our government who continue to deny the events of that day, and in doing so, betray their oath of office.
He went on to talk about his response. You said, I don't think our response to the insurrection should have anything to do with political parties. And it's too late for that, of course. But the idea that either party thinks that they will benefit from this kind of revelation, you know what scares me about it? Is that for both sides, for all sides, this is going to suppress turnout. The Democrats have gotten hysterical about how changing some of the hours of early voting in certain states is going to suppress turnout. This constant harping on this disagreement, this inability to really put to rest, and honestly, this really depends on both Republicans and Democrats working together. It will be a disaster for the country if we go into the election of 2022, let alone the election of 2024, still arguing about the election of 2020. It's entirely destructive. It's entirely inappropriate. And that's why my one hope for these hearings is actually trying to just put it to rest. And again, if it's possible, I suspect that that Jim Banks and Jim Jordan, had they been there and part of these hearings, they might have served their own cause best, not challenging these police officers, but expressing support and sympathy for them. Because certainly that should be easy to feel. The question is, who are they going to call as witnesses in the future? Of course, they're talking about calling President Trump, perhaps calling Attorney General Bill Barr. He was still Attorney General at that time, I believe, and maybe calling some of the leadership that prevented or at least delayed the calling of the National Guard. We'll get to that and to more. And was the Parkland shooting really a hoax? Who's claiming it? Well, you won't be surprised. We'll get to that coming up on the MedVed Show.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
And on the Michael Medved show, one of the more emotional moments that occurred in the hearings today, and I actually do think it's worth watching some of it, because if we're going to put this behind us, and that should be the ardent wish of every patriotic American, if we're going to put it behind us, then this could be part of the process. Adam Kinzinger, the very courageous representative from downstate Illinois, who made a number of contributions that I think were important to the hearings today. Adam Kinzinger said this when he was actually reassuring some of the officers who had become extraordinarily emotional. This is a clip three. Listen.
Thank you to our witnesses. I never expected today to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and, you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys helped. You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days, how we take accountability for that. And for all the overheated rhetoric surrounding this committee, our mission is very simple. It's to find the truth, and it's to ensure accountability.
It's tough to argue with that, isn't it? Let's go to Nicholas calling from L.A. You're on the Medved Show.
A long, long, long-time listener, not frequent caller, but anyway.
Thank you.
I wanted to take you to task about letting people like Jim Jordan speak or be part of this. I mean, at the end of the day, the fact that he and others questioned the results of the election when there wasn't a shred of evidence that anything had gone wrong. To me, that is a mark of someone who's anti-American. And it's not about right or left, Republican or Democrat, but I really do think, and you have been very clear about your dislike for that day and for what Trump did, but I think it goes beyond that with Trump. there is an element of sedition, and he's the president of the United States, and he has questioned every one of our most cherished institutions, things that right and left could agree with in the past and be proud about, especially the separations of powers.
Okay.
And I find it incredible.
Let me just mention to you, we went through an impeachment, and we went through a completely unnecessary impeachment that was a terrible idea. And it was a terrible idea because it was trying to impeach Trump in the last few days of his presidency, simply to make the point that you're making now, Nicholas. Do I believe that President Trump is likely to be called as a witness before this committee? Yes. And will it be much tougher for him to escape testifying than it was when he was president? Yeah, but it'll be somewhat tougher, but I think he still will try to avoid testifying. I wish that he would testify. And let me tell you why. This question about whether there's evidence or not, and you know, Nicholas, that I think it's very clear that Joseph Biden won. And it wasn't even really that close a race. I mean, we've had very, very close races. This was not it. Joe Biden won in popular votes by 7 million, the closest of all of the individual states that were close in electoral votes was 12,000. This was not a hairbreadth margin. Biden won. Okay. Trump will never admit that. It will never happen. For the rest of his life, he's going to claim that he actually won the race. I wish he would do otherwise. But he could do one thing if he testifies. And I would not rule it out. What he could do is express regret for what happened and what was done in his name. And maybe acknowledge that during those 5 hours that people were raiding the Capitol building, that he was extremely derelict in actually ordering, bringing to order what only a president can do. But in terms of trying to go through any equivalent of another impeachment or any kind of civil trial or any, it almost certainly will not happen. And nor should it. I actually believe that what the country desperately needs is to try to emphasize the stuff we have in common, which is respect for our political process and a desire to move our election system beyond controversy. And it's one of the reasons that the current debate with the Democrats saying that the Republican election reform, some of which are silly and unnecessary, but none of which amount to the greatest attack on America since American democracy since the Civil War. You may not be able to get together on everything in Washington, but if we can't get together, Republicans and Democrats, on the importance of election security and fairness and avoidance of fraud of any kind on any side, if we can't get together on that, we are in much deeper trouble than I'd like to believe that we are. There was a point that Liz Cheney made that may give Jim Jordan, among others, a chance to testify before the whole committee. In what context? Listen, this is clip 9.
Leader McCarthy also had phone calls with President Trump on that day. Are Leader McCarthy and former President Trump material witnesses as well?
Look, I think that the American people, as I said, deserve to know what happened every minute of that day. They deserve to know about every phone call that was made in and out of the White House, every meeting, every discussion that was had that day in the White House as the Capitol building was under attack. And so the committee will go wherever it needs to go to get to the facts.
Okay, and that means to Jim Jordan, that was one of the reasons that Nancy Pelosi gave for objecting to him, because he could end up being a material witness, because he was one of the people who spoke to the president directly, and we know that during the riot as it proceeded and as the invasion of the Capitol building proceeded. That segment with Liz Cheney was not on the committee floor. It was in an interview with George Stephanopoulos. Look, this is going to continue, but isn't it something worth hoping for that it could be the end? Just as we long for the end of the pandemic, speaking of which, ahead of the CDC announcing the new mask guidance, a White House press reporter asked Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, what's your message to Americans who are feeling whiplash right now, whiplash on everything, but particularly on the pandemic? This is
what we have seen, is that the Republican base and Republican Party has really pivoted to a strategy of using race and using just the changing demographics of this country. Using a white supremacist core logic in order to reanimate a very core fear in this country of the other. And so what's really important is that we come together and have a very strong rebuttal to that core logic.
Okay, that, of course, is not Jen Psaki. That was AOC on the Don Lemon Show. Here for a moment, as clip 17 is
Jen Psaki. Today they're changing their guidance. They're changing their advice to the American public, their public health advice, based on evolving data and an evolving historic about guidance. That's virus. That's exactly what they should be doing.
What is your message to Americans who are feeling whiplash right now? Why should they trust the same group of health officials who just a few months ago told them they don't have to wear a mask anymore inside?
Because our goal is to save their lives, and our responsibility and the responsibility of public health officials is to continue to provide updated guidance.
Okay, and our goal is to continue to provide updated insight. There is a provocative piece by a Republican strategist saying that there may be growing lack of patience and intemperance toward people who are not vaccinated. We will get to that in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.